Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Sam?
Oh, it was a long yesterday.
Yeah, you had a lot going on.
Yeah, quite a bit, but it's okay. We have a busy day today and meeting lots of people and got some editing to do, and I'm interested on what you have to say today.
Yeah, I'm really excited how we built our day out today. I feel like we're on it. We're on a roll.
Like, we got like a schedule.
Yeah, and this is what I want to keep. I am not a huge, huge planner, but it is really nice to know what to expect as far as like a schedule.
And I am a planner. So,
and you're a huge planner.
It needs to be outlined. Otherwise, one, I know we won't stay on track. And two, I won't stay on track. And just so you guys know, it was very exciting to me this weekend to have a couple of people reach out about topics that they thought would be interesting for us to have on the show and discuss. I have yet to hear a dumb topic. So keep them coming.
She's waiting.
Can I call you out if it is a dumb one?
No. Honestly, the truth is, I think the whole point is that there's kind of probably not a dumb topic out there.
I think that's how I feel.
We all just want to like learn more about each other. And yeah, it's kind of cool.
It is really fun. One of the topics that was brought to me was actually a really sensitive one. And it'll be really cool. It'll be really nice to be able to have that experience with someone and that's willing to share such a sensitive but really important for women's safety in general. So it'll be good.
Yeah, it will be good. You know what? I don't know if either of us thought of a fail for this episode to share.
Let's see. Fail.
I can right off think of one that has to do with our planning. I think we did really good with our schedule, but then in one of our boards, I was responding to, you asked me like multiple questions, and then I responded to an answer to one of them. And I think you thought it was a response to a different question. And so I wasn't clear in my response. And so now I know I need to be more clear.
Or fails keep responding about miscommunication.
I wonder if it's because we're just sitting here, we're looking at each other's eyes, and I'm like, I'm feeling so guilty about that one thing.
No.
So then it comes, that's why it kind of just came up to me just now.
I know I fail. Oh my God. Do we do something other than fails?
Yeah, if you want to.
Okay.
Do you have a success? To me, those are intertwined anyway, though.
Okay, so we didn't prepare any fails today, but how about we share a success this time so that maybe, you know, just a little switch it up?
Yeah.
I feel like yesterday was a very stressful day and a very intense day, and I won't share much about it right now, but I started having a panic attack in the middle of this, like, meeting session thing is how I'll describe it, and I had to, like, tell myself, like, okay, Samantha, you need to get up. And so finally I get up and I go to the bathroom and I like got the cold water and I start splashing it on my wrist and like the back of my neck and then like did some deep breaths. And then I was able to return to the meeting and no one knew what happened. I mean, my husband can tell what happened, but it was all good.
That's huge.
Calmed myself down.
There's a certain part of your brain that takes over when you're stressed, and it's really, really hard to realize that it's even taking over. And for you to be able to see that and say, I'm going to go and take some actual physical steps to help my body and my heart rate and my, because some of the things that they tell you to do when you're having an anxiety attack is like focus on your breathing or focus on five things that you can see, hear, touch, smell, and bring yourself back to the ground.
Yeah, no, my vision starts to go wonky, like things start to move that aren't moving. And
but the fact that you could take yourself out objectively and do those things that you knew could calm you down, because usually I get to a point where I can't even think that way. It takes practice.
It has.
So
it has been.
That's pretty cool.
It was a success. Yeah.
For sure. That's all I was trying to say. Do I have a success?
Ooh. You started figuring out the editing.
Oh, thanks. I guess that's a success.
You put time aside to do it.
I put lots of time aside.
And then you're sitting here giving me pointers, like, because you've already kind of figured out some of the
issues. Aw, thank you. I didn't see that as a success. I saw it as, like, because I didn't finish the project I intended to, like, sit down and edit a whole episode, and it ended up being hours of work, and I've got half of it done. And so in my mind, I didn't see that as a success. So I thank you.
No, yeah, that's
That's a success.
Helping me reframe.
Because I'm really scared to start messing around with it. But I'm going to make myself do
it. You can do it.
You made yourself do it. Yeah. All right, Melissa, you have some things laid out in front of you. What is this? What are you about to do to me?
Do to you.
Be nice.
That's so funny.
Gentle.
So we thought it would be interesting. Sam has been toying with her spirituality, her intuition, and she's just kind of trying to figure out what does she believe. And I am of the feeling that the answers are all inside us already. Basically, I'm going to do a tarot reading for her. I already did it, actually. And while I want to say, first of all, I did a tarot reading for her, and I think it's a very interesting reading, and I think it's very interesting to go over. But I do also want to say, I don't think it takes the place of therapy. I just think that's very important to say.
So when you do these readings, are you supposed to pose a question of what you're reading for
sometimes,
that person?
Yeah, sometimes people do come with a question. What I did was I did something called a spread where I pulled a certain amount of cards, and I knew each card was being pulled to answer a not maybe specific question, but the spread that I did for you was a 7-card spread. The top 3 cards each represented, first, the issue at hand. Second, the change that must happen within. And third, like the result or physical manifestation. So it was kind of like kind of taking you on a journey. Like, this is something you're going through. How are you going to get through it? And what would the result be if you could do this in a successful, good way? And then the last 4 cards are on the bottom, and they all represent tools for change. So the reading is not, I think a lot of people are under the misconception that tarot is like a fortune-telling game. I don't see it that way. I see it as tapping into your own like emotional and your own feelings, and just kind of, there's things inside, like we said already, there's things inside you that are kind of wanting to get out, and you're having a hard time tapping into them and finding them. And
so before you get into reading this,
yeah,
what you mentioned to me before you did this, that you were going to do this, and I started asking you like a few questions, and you said, well, we need to do while we're not together, because for me, it takes a lot of
energy.
So like what?
And that's not true for everybody. It's because I'm not super good at reading the cards. So, okay.
But you're talking about, you know, it takes a lot of energy and tapping into intuition. So like what was that process?
Okay.
If you want to share, so or you don't have to.
No, I do want to share. I think it's a very valid and important question. First off, just to give like an idea, the decks are all based off of like a deck that was made like in the 1400s that somebody drew. And all of the decks are kind of based off that. And there's certain cards that are in every deck. Like you've got the Fool, you've got the Queen, you've got like Wands and Cups. And so you have all these different types of cards in each deck, just like you would a regular suit of cards, King, Queen, Joker, you know, Spades, Ace, that kind of thing. But some people are really good at memorizing like all of the cards and what they stand for, and understanding that I have to use my resources and look up on Biddy Tarot. I'm going to link that because it's my favorite website. It's very thorough, and it's very straightforward, where she talks about things and it doesn't seem too, I don't know how, like woo-woo.
That's the word that came to my mind.
So anyway, the reason I needed to be separate was because I knew that it was going to, one, take time to kind of ground myself and try to like tap into your, so that I wasn't pulling cards for maybe myself, but kind of like tap into
cards.
What
did it feel like tapping into for me? Like, did you feel like super stressed?
No. I basically, what I guess I mean by that is I kind of like focused on you and your energy and just tried to kind of feel like, okay, if this was a card being pulled for Sam, what card is wanting to jump out? That's for me how I do it, but I'm sure everybody's different.
Okay.
You kind of excited to hear about your reading?
Yeah. Let's see what happens.
Okay. So, I don't see tarot as like any kind of a fortune telling thing.
You did say that.
Okay. Because that's important to me. I think we all make our own destinies.
Uh-huh.
I do believe that, if I don't believe anything else. So, okay. The very first card that was pulled, and I'll let you look at her, but it's a beautiful woman. She's got a knapsack over her shoulder. She is about to step off of a cliff into the precipice of the unknown. And this card is called The Fool.
Oh, she's got animals around her, too. There's like a fox and like a cat.
Yeah. So this deck that I'm actually using for Sam is called the Dark Wood Tarot deck. And it's kind of like, it's just really beautiful art of these.
Wait, it says The Fool.
I know. I said that part, but you were looking at the picture. That's okay. That's good. The Fool's not a bad thing. What it actually represents is innocence and new beginnings and like new endeavors going into the unknown. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that represents. What really jumped out to me for you was that you're at the outset of a journey. You're at the beginning of something big, and it's spontaneity, new beginnings, innocence. That's just, you're the beginning of a big journey. So as I went through all these, it's really kind of interesting how all the cards that I pulled work together to tell a story.
Interesting.
Okay.
You know, I will say though, so you know how sometimes like these things will pop up? Like there's some people that I know that do tarot readings and like they'll post this thing and it's like, click on it and see like what card pulls up for you. And I'll tell you like a little bit about what it means.
Okay.
Every time I click on one of those, it's this dang card.
No, it is not.
It is every time. And then I've never asked for like interpretation, but literally anytime I've ever done one of those little clicking things, it always ends on this card.
I don't know. Yeah, I honestly don't know how I feel about the clicking things, but I don't see why. It's all energy in the universe.
Obviously, I didn't take anything out of it or anything, but like it's interesting that this is the card you give me when that's the card I get every time I click something.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. That's very interesting. I don't know what it was trying to tell you when you clicked on it, but right now it's definitely talking about you being at the beginning of a journey.
Okay.
And it's all unknown and spontaneous. All right. So that is the issue at hand. That was the card pulled for that. So basically kind of saying, this is what we want to talk about for Sam is her journey. So I tried to stay unbiased when I was pulling the cards too, but sometimes different thoughts and ideas pop into my head and then I feel like I will have to share those with you. So I did kind of feel like this might have been talking about the podcast, but it also could be talking about other things in your life too, and I'm not here to tell you what it is. Okay, so the second card that was pulled is this one. It's called the Ten of Wands. This one is a woman who's got a knapsack over her shoulder also, well, it's a bundle of sticks. She's carrying a heavy burden. Okay.
She looks mischievous.
Oh, interesting. I want to see her again. Yeah, she also is carrying a heavy burden, and she's also kind of like on the way to a journey. As I pulled this card to be the change that happens within, the things that were jumping out at me that this card could mean for you were that you have a really big burden on you. It's quite a load of work. And some of it is, yes, your responsibility, but some of it can be delegated out. The feelings that I was getting was what you can do to help yourself on your journey, the change that must happen within, is for you to kind of let go. Learn to let go of some things. Learn to trust. The end is in sight, but it kept coming up that it's essential to let go. Okay.
Okay. I do have stuff to share on that once we go through this reading.
Yeah. I want to hear everything. Yeah. Do you want to share now on that?
No.
Not yet.
I want to give a full story.
Okay. Let's do it. So the third card that I pulled is supposed to be the result or physical manifestation of your issue, which we have already decided is we're talking about your journey.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want to describe this card to us? What do you see?
It looks like kind of sad women. At least one of them looks sad.
Oh, interesting.
To me, on a dark horse, and they're riding towards something with torches.
Okay. So what it is it's supposed to be triumph and public recognition. So this is a woman who she's on her horse. She is riding through the crowd. People are cheering. People are seeing her and recognizing her for the things
that
she's
done. I don't see cheering.
Let me see the card, because I haven't looked closely at this artwork. Oh, yeah. She has a, you know what that looks like to me? It looks like support.
Oh, I could see that. I could see that. She looks like a little focused and down. And then the other women, their eyes are open moving forward. So I could see that.
Yeah. Yeah. So because that is also another way to kind of see it. And that's interesting that you helped me see that. So that kind of says that that's the direction it should go. What I had felt was this is representing, let's see, what was the name of that card? The
Six of Wands.
An important milestone is close to being reached. You are receiving public acknowledgement. So isn't that interesting and weird?
That is
like you
really
just
weird.
Talked about people reaching out to us. And I anyway, and then that was just basically kind of that. That's the physical manifestation is just you can be proud of what you've done. And there are people supporting you and acknowledging
and
the things that you're doing.
Coming?
It kind of says you've kind of reached it.
Okay.
So like it is it's a point on your journey where you're starting to get like public recognition.
And this means public.
It does.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of
interesting. That does sound kind of podcasty, huh?
It does a little bit. Okay. So then the four cards that I pulled next were supposed to be tools. Only one of them came upside down. And I like, again, guys, I'm just going to say it. I rely heavily on Biddy Tarot to help me understand the reading of the cards. And she'll give you what does the card mean when it's pulled right side up? What does it mean when it's pulled upside down? And
I remember you once commenting that a lot of people won't read upside down cards.
I have a friend. She just won't even touch them because she thinks that they're too confusing and
negative.
They can be seen as negative. But actually, this was a very positive one.
Oh, OK. Let's hear it.
Yeah. So like Biddy Tarot will give you like a bunch of different things that like this card could be referencing or meaning. And then I, with my intuition, tap into the ones that's like jumping out at me for you. So what I got for this card was, this is the Five of Pentacles. And it came out upside down. I got that this can be an end to hard times. The thing that you can do to help you on your journey and like to reach an end of hard times is to trust the universe that they're going to provide for you. So it kind of talked a lot about, that's the second card. Oh, interesting. But these two got to do work together. So it says, trust the universe to provide for you, especially when it has to do with you following your dreams. Because it can be scary to do that, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So the next card actually does play right into that story. This is called the Ace of Pentacles. So pentacles kind of have to do with coins. Basically, in this deck, they're called pentacles and some they're called coins or whatnot. But it kind of has to do with like fortune and prosperity and good things coming your way, right? So the Ace of Pentacles is saying, this is your time to move. This is your moment. Let's seize the day. Your time is now. And it's the things that it's saying that you could do to help yourself on your journey are to actually map out how to achieve. She just gave me a look. She's like, I told you. She loves to map everything out. And that's what it's telling her to do. So it says, map out how you're going to achieve these targeted goals, okay, and your ambitions. And then it's also saying that to be able to accept the good coming your way and to like get more tenfold, like to keep coming your way, you just need to keep sending out positive energy into the universe and it will come back to you.
Okay.
Okay. The second to last card I pulled for you was the Seven of Pentacles. All of your cards underneath had to do with the pentacles, except for one.
So they don't all say pentacles in them? I just happened to get them that say.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's a certain suit.
Okay.
This one did not come up upside down, but actually I want to kind of look at the picture real quick. Oh, that's pretty and interesting. Okay. So this one.
You know, I just got to make a comment.
Please.
These pictures are kind of cracking me up because I keep seeing little banana chips.
Oh, yeah. So
you refer to them as like chips or something, and they look like little banana chips that you would eat.
So what I think those are like that starfish. I think they're
the sand dollars.
The sand dollars, yeah. And I think they're in this particular artist's interpretation is what she's using as the coins. And
I could see it being a sand dollar, but like in this one particularly, it looks like it's in a...
That's hilarious. It like does look like she's about to just have a big good snack.
Yeah. All right. Seven of Pentacles.
And the other weird thing is I was actually going to use my other deck for you. Because I just thought it reminded me of some of your tattoos and stuff.
Oh.
And it's one of my favorite decks. It's called Antique Anatomy Tarot deck. And I'll like show it to you. But it's kind of got flowers around skulls and stuff. It's really pretty,
mm-hmm.
but also kind of a small bit like, I don't know, not morbid.
Oh.
Kind of like, hey.
More
like,
negative.
No, not negative. Kind of not racy. What's the word? Edgy.
Okay.
But anyway, but then for some reason, when I kept thinking of doing a reading for you, it was this deck. And I don't know why.
Okay.
So, So the very last card that I pulled for you.
Wait, we didn't talk about the Seven Pentacles.
Oh, I didn't mean to skip it.
So Seven Pentacles.
Yeah. So Seven of Pentacles is, again, another one that has to do with prosperity and all of that kind of stuff. But this one is an invitation to step back and look at the bigger picture. That's what's going to help you. Is to be able to kind of reevaluate the things that you think are important and look at the whole big picture. It says to celebrate your creations, but to assess your progress and reassess what you're focused on. And again, I don't know in what way, so you'll have to tell me what that means to you when we get there.
You said celebrate, but to...
Celebrate your creations, uh-huh. but to also assess your progress
mm-hmm.
and reassess what you are focusing on.
Okay.
All right. The very last card I pulled for you as a tool for change was the Queen of Cups.
Oh, that's not a pinnacle.
The only one that's not a pinnacle.
Okay.
Yeah, in that bottom row.
She looks happy.
Yeah. So she's a very introspective woman. And what she does a lot of is supporting others by listening. She's got a very motherly and like empathic character to her, if that makes sense. So she...
Her boobs look like mine.
Her boobs look like yours? It's you.
It is me.
Let me see her boobs. They must be perky. Let's see.
They're nice and full.
Yeah, they are. They look good.
Okay, sorry. All right. I'm getting back to it.
I love that. No. Okay, so...
Queen of Cups.
So she's very introspective. She has like a nurturing spirit. She's supportive and she supports others by listening with her heart. That's right. This was very interesting because I felt like these last two cards had a lot to say about like looking inside and seeing like the last one was talking about what you're focusing on. This one is saying pay attention to your feelings more. And I even got the idea that maybe you could meditate and just try to like get in touch with your own feelings that you don't necessarily normally let come to the surface. Trust your intuition and show empathy. Those were the things that I was getting.
Show empathy. What does that mean to you?
To me, showing empathy is just maybe just kind of showing love and kindness and support to the people around you, maybe who are, honestly, the thing that keeps coming to my mind is the people who are trying to support you on your journey.
Okay.
So that's your reading. And do you see how I can tell you? Now you're like, oh, what does that even tell me?
No. I am trying to put together this. Feels like maybe another version of what that intuitive reading was like.
Sure.
So would you say that tarot cards, you have said that tarot cards are kind of like another intuitive type of
form of reading.
Yes, a tool.
Mm-hmm.
So I did do an intuitive reading.
Mm-hmm.
In that intuitive reading, one of the things that was said is that the struggle is almost over. That there's been a lot of challenges and that just know that it's coming to an end and that there's a light coming and mm-hmm. and that, you know, you're going to move forward into it.
Yeah.
It said that this was a time to start.
We got that too, didn't we?
Yeah. And that this was the time that something is the time to start doing something new. And to trust the intuition in that.
She said that too.
A lot of this does sound like there's, you know, the podcast that we just started and there's been a lot of, you know, where will this take us and what would it look like? And, you know, is now the time or should I get working again? Like, what are we doing? And then there's another business aspect that we've been talking about. And so.
Oh, that came up in my mind too, by the way.
Yeah.
She's exploring a little side something else.
Another business.
And
yeah.
That came up too. It was when, I just didn't know if I should bring it up, but since you did, it was about, it was the Five of Pentacles. When that card came up, it said something, and I actually didn't read this part to you. I don't think.
Okay.
it said something about like, if you have a poverty mindset, like that feeling of I can't afford this,
mm-hmm.
then reevaluate and look, is that truth or is that a limiting belief? And you take that and realize that the universe, if you're chasing your dreams, is going to provide for you.
Okay.
That was when I thought of your other endeavor that you might be kind of, I thought that was interesting.
That's interesting, but it also could relate to this because we were talking about how some of you have asked about merchandise already.
Oh.
And I was sitting there thinking like, how, like this, we're going to waste money. We're going to buy like some shirts or some hats or whatever it is that we decide on. And like, they're just going to sit with us. Like, who's going to buy it? But I mean, we're getting some requests. So mm-hmm. I mean, maybe that's a sign that we should do it.
Yeah.
It's not a waste.
Just kind of trust that things are going to work out. I mean, obviously, if you're not crazy extravagant, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was really fun. And I think that I need some time to like process it a little bit more to figure out fully
yeah.
how I feel about
and
it.
And we can do another recording.
Yeah. But it did remind me of, I did not share about the intuitive reading, and I can go more into depth on what that was also and what that felt like. And I feel like they connect in a way.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that makes me feel good. It means that I picked up on what you were putting out.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really
interesting. Was there anything that was kind of shocking to you?
The thing that keeps repeating in my head for some reason is show empathy. That also kind of reminds me of something in the intuitive reading of she described me as looking like Swiss cheese
oh.
because I like to stand in between the people that I love when things start coming at the people that I love, that I stand in the middle and I start fighting battles for them.
Right.
So, you know, right now, Simon's got family struggles going on. And she was basically saying, like, you need to step back and you need to be the support, not the defense mechanism, because he's got to fight through his feelings and work them out himself, as, you know, instead of you trying to protect him. Stop trying to protect him.
So it sounds
And so empathy to me kind of ties into that reminder of, just be supportive, take a step back, stop trying to protect.
I actually think that's very important. It's something that I've had to learn over the years because I also I'm an empath. Like, that's just, I can't help it. Mm-hmm. And so for years, I would, if somebody around me was feeling a certain way, I would suddenly think it was my job to take those feelings from them and help them, I don't know, like fight their battles. But mm-hmm. I love that you said we can have empathy for people without fighting their battles, but support them in their fighting of it themselves. It's one of those things where sometimes somebody will come into your life and it can be people you love or it could be like a toxic person,
mm-hmm.
but they have very strong emotions. And I, in the past, struggled with taking those emotions and feeling them. And I don't have to feel all of the negative sort of ways that somebody else is feeling to support mm-hmm. them. Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of learning how to have walls and boundaries and not to take on other people's emotions and feel their feelings for them, but to have empathy for what they're going through and support them in the way that maybe they need a support in a different way. And that's where we have to step back and reevaluate, like, what are we focusing on? I don't know. That just kind of popped in my mind, too. That was one of your cards. So that's, yeah, it's, I think all of us can take a little lesson from that. It's a very difficult sometimes to separate ourselves emotionally from the people we love.
And I could also see it being a struggle, like when you don't understand what they're feeling. Because a lot of times I do mm-hmm. pick up on the energies and emotions and the ways that people are feeling. But for some reason, I can pick up on what my husband is feeling, but I don't get words back to like know and understand what he's feeling. And then I get frustrated feeling unable to support because I don't understand where you're coming from and why.
So you're such interesting. It's like you're feeling the feelings and not able to understand them.
Yes. Like some, yeah, and he laughs because sometimes we'll be sitting at the table or driving or sitting on the couch and I look at him and I'm like, what are you thinking? And he'll say, nothing. And I go, I can hear you. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can hear you. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on in there? And then sometimes he'll start telling me like, oh, and it'll be like random thoughts meshed together, like, you know, how we all have tabs going on. But then sometimes days later, he'll be like, remember when you like asked me if you could hear me? What was I thinking? Well, I was trying to work out this problem in my head. I'm like, okay, I wish you would tell me when I can hear you.
Yeah. that's really interesting. Also, it made me think of a toddler who has those emotions and they can't figure out how to get them out. And it's so frustrating. So they just want to cry. Right? And it's okay. Because like, I think sometimes we do have those, that small child inside us. Yes, yes. We do. Mm-hmm. And I think also back to therapy, because I'm always a proponent of that, regardless of if you think there's something wrong with you or not, there's like always something that therapy can help you with. But just real quick, that was what one thing that therapy helped me with, was kind of identifying those different parts of inside me, like the mm-hmm. small child or like the control freak or the different parts of me that want to kind of fight each other and didn't mm-hmm. want to get along, and how to kind of talk to them and separate them out and be able to say, okay, well, there's this part of me that's being very judgmental and doesn't think mm-hmm. that I should have these feelings, right?
Right.
And then there's this other part of me that doesn't care. She just has these feelings because she's a freaking child still. And so I think being able to identify all of the different feelings and things that are going on inside of you is just a really big step to understanding yourself.
That's where we talk about that gray that was so frustrating for me.
Yeah.
Seeing all the sides
yeah.
and not knowing where to stand ground and when
that
to.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a very fun episode.
Yeah, that was fun. I had no idea what she pulled and what to expect. So this was my first time seeing the cards, my first time hearing the cards, and then her explaining them to me.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear more after you kind of stew on them. And she took notes as I was talking, and kind of, I think certain things stood out to her and she's going to be thinking on them, and she'll come back and give mm-hmm. a little update. Maybe.
I think quite possibly this might be part one and we'll get back to you here in an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you won't know it's been an hour. But
you won't know. It could be days. I'm just kidding. Thanks for listening. And if you guys have had any experience with tarot cards or like what you believe and feel on them, it would be fun to share what you've been told through them. Or maybe if Melissa is feeling froggy, maybe you can ask a special request of her to read for you on a live show.
Actually, that would be really interesting.
Readings from Melissa.
Yeah. Ooh, that'd be very interesting to do a reading for somebody that I've not actually ever met.
Yes. Yeah. If you're curious, let us know.
Yeah. If you want a reading, I would love to do one. And then we could get together and do what we did with Sam and just kind of, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I'm froggy. I'm feeling froggy.
She's feeling froggy, guys. Not frisky.
Don't worry. I'll keep it in my pants.
So we had a little break. I reflected a little bit on my tarot card reading and reflected a little bit on my story that I wanted to share.
Yeah, I'm excited about this because I knew that you – okay, can I just share real quick? I knew you had an intuitive reading with somebody.
Yeah.
But this
was a couple weeks ago now?
It was a couple weeks ago, and you did tell me like
– I was actually on her podcast.
Yeah. So like, has it dropped yet?
It has not dropped yet.
I keep looking. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, this was a recording that I did for a podcast called Intuitive Readings with Victoria Shaw.
Perfect. So I knew you had done it. I've been waiting to hear it. It hasn't dropped yet, but you only told me like a couple things. So I can't wait to hear. So I think you're going to share with all of us.
I think that I look forward to it coming out so I can re-listen to it, because I know that right after the reading, there were so many things going through me. And I remember it being like, I internally was feeling a lot of emotions because I was like, holy smokes, this was deep and personal, and so much stuff was like,
yes,
came out of it, and I wasn't expecting that.
It's almost like therapy. It's hard work and emotionally draining.
It wasn't hard.
I'm not saying she was therapizing you.
I didn't necessarily think that any of it would align, or that like I would really believe a lot of it. Like, it was really just a curiosity thing for me of what could come out of it, that I would feel like mm-hmm. there's substance there. And like all of it was substance that I could see where it was being pulled from. And
kind of
like
blew you away.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to rehear that. And also I feel like it's a lot deeper and more personal than anything we shared on our podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm nervous about that. But anyway, so we have our meeting, and this is my first guest appearance on a podcast too. So I was so nervous. So we start off, and honestly, the angle that we were originally going for is that I have a bird that follows me around my house. She comes and sits. It's a female cardinal, and she comes and sits at all of my windows wherever I am. And
I've seen her.
Yeah.
Like every time I'm here.
Persistent.
Yes.
I mean, and it's been 8 months at this point. So we were going to talk about that. And, you know, she talks about spirit guides, and she was picking up that this bird was a spirit guide. But we start a conversation, and she basically immediately starts going into, there's a lot going on with you, starts explaining Simon's inner emotions and like what he's going through. And I mean, like deeply, like to a T. And that was the first thing that really pinged my heart a little bit and caused some, like, I think I was low-key tearing up a little bit because she was like explaining how torn my husband is and how difficult this time has been for him. She compared him to basically like this little ball curled up in the pit of a hole.
Oh my God.
I mean, because, you know, he's going through just a really hard time with these family struggles, particularly with his mom. And then there's my health things, and he just feels torn and doesn't know where to go. Wow. And so she was accurately describing what I imagine he feels like. You know, and, you know, talking to him, like, yeah, wow. That's kind of where he's at. And she goes and she pulls accurately information on diagnosis of his mom. Like, not that she says what the diagnoses were, but the symptoms and behaviors and
things how they're kind of happening.
Yeah. And was able to pull things out.
And it's definitely not stuff that's broadcast everywhere. Like, she wouldn't be able to find it.
No. She said, like, one of the things that she specifically said is that his mother is not connected to the real reality right now. And that's what's going on.
Yeah.
She's not connected to reality right now.
She's been saying that for a while.
Yeah. And so I was like, man, okay, that's wild. One of the other things that I thought was interesting is she was trying to explain to me that Simon's family problems are not a reflection or a cause of me. And she said that it feels like I take on the burden of feeling like, oh, if he hadn't chosen me, then these family issues wouldn't have started and come up. Or, you know, having this feeling that things are my fault and that, like, I'm a burden on him. And she was trying to say that for him, like, I'm trying to decide how I want to word this. So at one point she says that Simon just has so much love and he's such a great person and he views you as this delicate little bird is what she said. And so later I actually asked him, if you had to describe me as something, like, what do you really feel deep down? Like, how would you describe me? And he was like, it would be like a fragile, like a delicate. And I was like,
what?
It was so
and
wild.
You never knew he no, saw he you
had
that
never,
way.
No, he had never said that. And he wasn't saying it in a bad way. As
no,
in, like,
course.
I'm someone that's just going to, like, I crumble over any and everything. He's like, no, you're going through a lot. You've been through a lot. He's like, you're, you know, there's just some delicacy to how you are.
Where he wants, does it kind of bring out a protective side of him?
I think so. I think he tries to not put exactly what he's feeling onto me about what's going on with his family and how, like, my health has affected him. I think that that's where that was coming from.
Okay.
And then she was saying that I look like Swiss cheese because I...
That breaks my heart.
Yeah. Though I feel like things are my fault, also now since there's this big divide and I know that my husband is really hurt and struggling, she's like, you're standing in the middle and you're sitting here trying to deflect bullets from all sides to protect. And she's like, and you're just destroying yourself. You look like Swiss cheese. Like, you've got to stop. You just protect people too much all the time and there are burdens that are not yours. Mm-hmm. And you need to learn to let go and just step back. She said, you need to learn to step back and stand beside him, not in front of him. Like, it's not your job to protect him.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. And then she brings up a past life. And she said that, and this is where my curiosity, you know, I've already been thinking about past lives. She asked if I believe in past lives. And I said, well, it's something that I've always been interested in learning more about to see if that's what I really believe. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm learning that that is the area that I do lean towards. And I need to talk to more people who know more about it than me. But she goes, well, a past life view is coming forward. And she said that...
This is the part I'm so interested in. Yeah. Like, tell me more.
Okay. So she says that this past life me is coming forward and she's seeing royalty. The royalty is on my husband's side and something bad has happened to where the royal family has turned against my husband and me. And that basically we're like exiled or something.
Wow.
And she was like, in this life, you feel like it's all your fault. And had you not gotten with your husband, his family wouldn't have been torn apart and there wouldn't be this strife.
Oh.
So it wasn't explained. It was not explained. And like, we didn't go into detail about it then, but that struck that curiosity match in me again about reincarnation and past lives and stuff. And when I looked up past lives and how you can have the same pattern, basically it goes and coincides with the idea that a soul is its own being, basically,
mm-hmm.
and that the soul is going to reincarnate and redo life.
Mm-hmm.
You have to figure out its purpose for the soul to rest. Otherwise, it's going to keep being born. And so history will keep repeating itself until you find that purpose and you accomplish its great enlightenment, if that makes
sense.
Okay. And so it was really funny because she said all that. She said the past life to bring in that this is a repeat of your past life.
Yeah, it almost sounds like too, maybe you brought some of that trauma.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if this is all true, I mean, obviously.
Right.
But it's like you had brought some of that trauma of feeling like it was your fault. And then you're kind of reliving that again. You're like, thinking,
right.
Oh, here it is again.
Must have been. If this
it's got to be my fault again.
Yeah. If this is something that is true, it would be insinuating that there's something that I've not learned from.
Got
in
you.
Past lives.
Okay.
That I need to learn.
Okay. That is very,
isn't it?
Open-minded.
Yeah.
And I like it a lot.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
So after the past lives, she goes, both of your parents are still alive. And I said, yeah. And she goes, okay, you're really close to your mom. You try not to see your dad as much as possible. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, he's a bad person. And I was like, I mean, he's just not a great person. And she was like, no, he has a lot of abusive tendencies and he's not going to change. And
oh,
you're being nice.
Wow.
And I was like, ooh, okay.
That hurt.
It didn't hurt. It was just like kind of like weird because no one on the outside sees the real him.
Right.
He's really good at having two faces. And so it was really weird to have someone on the outside randomly just kind of know.
Right.
And so it was really weird. It felt really odd. So then there's another truth, like
wow.
just kind of being out there. And then she says, again, the Swiss cheese, stop trying to protect everyone. You're sitting here in the middle. Your mom doesn't need protecting. She does not need to be saved. Let it be.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Because you want like what's best for her, but
I
really
do.
It's her choice.
It is. It's her choice. And I want what's best for her. That life, no one would want to be living by other people's terms and rules and stuff like for your whole life. And so now that I've been able to have what I have with Simon and we, you know, have autonomy, but, you know,
still work as a team.
Yeah. It's like, why? Like you can start over.
Like, look what you could have, Mom.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she's also probably... I only chuckle because, and it's not funny, I suppose, but I do sometimes, I think I might have said it before, think, so I feel like she might be a little bit doing what I see my mom doing, which is choosing what's comfortable, what
mm-hmm.
she knows.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. And so I talked to my mom after this reading and just kind of...
Ooh, what'd she say?
I just kind of said like what she said. And I was like, she said that basically you don't want or need my help and that you oftentimes get mad at all my...
Had you felt that before? Or did you not really pick up on it that she was getting... yeah, sorry. And what did she say? So many questions.
She said, I don't get mad, but I don't need all of it.
Okay.
And so, like, I do try and give her outs all the time. Like, okay, well, you can go here. We got this. And you can just go there. Or, like, hey, there's this job. You can go do that. Or, like, you know, I try to give her all these options and nothing ever pans out. And so then I get frustrated and, you know, she's getting frustrated too. I don't need all this.
Got you.
And, yeah, so it was interesting that there was truth to that.
Yeah.
So... Then we talk about the bird that's following me. And she said that this bird is not, so it's a cardinal, and people usually associate cardinals with like a
a deceased relative. That's yes. what I hear uh-huh. about a yeah. lot.
Mm-hmm. A deceased relative coming to visit. She said that this isn't that, that this bird is a spirit guide that is here to support my new journey and passion and to reassure me that my health and that my struggles are coming to an end.
Whoa. Uh-huh. So it's kind of it's supposed to be imbuing hope
mm-hmm.
almost.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, beautiful.
Which when you look up what can a cardinal spiritually mean, I mean, that is one of them. It's just
really?
It's not the most common one. Sure. It's not the one that you would go to. So yeah.
Interesting. How did that make you feel?
So after the reading, I actually called and talked to Simon right after and ran through everything with him and everything that, you know, was said about him and his emotions and everything that was said about his mom and her inner workings and his stepdad and his sisters, because it went really deep. I'm not going to get into all that. It's not my family. I mean, it's
not your story.
Yeah.
That's what we've been saying lately, huh?
Yeah. And he was like, yeah, I mean, that it all is really accurate. And then I told him about the past lives and I ran through everything with him. And he was like, well, how does this all make you feel? And I was like, I don't know how to feel. Like, honestly, it really hurt my heart to hear someone else be able to explain what you're feeling, because it's really how I think you're feeling. And you can't articulate those to me. So it was hard to hear that.
Yeah.
And I said that it's really interesting to feel like, okay, we're on the right path to healing, and that there possibly is a new journey, a new beginning, and maybe this podcast is it. Maybe there's something else that hasn't quite happened yet. But I mean, after this intuitive reading, and since it has been a couple of days since we broke, guys. But since the intuitive reading and since the card reading,
yeah,
our pathway has kind of gone in a direction, and it's gone in a certain way. Like, now we're moving. We decided that we are moving to one of our other properties, and we are making that move within a week.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's what the pathway for us seemed to go and be. And it's now just going. And, you know, we got this podcast and we got people asking us to design merchandise, which we have our first few items being designed right now. I have this opportunity to invest in a business, and we're still deciding if that's something to do or not. But when you look at this intuitive reading and you look at these cards that you gave me, I mean, you have right here, you said that there's a new spontaneous journey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We just talked about that. That there's burdens and I need to learn to let go.
Yeah.
Hello. I'm stopping bullets here. I'm Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
That just seems to kind of coincide with what I'm constantly trying to tell myself. And even the last couple of days, like on Easter, my husband's mom out of nowhere, who has refused to talk to him court and stuff, demands that he meets her.
What?
And it's like 6 o'clock at night. And
just out of the blue?
Out of the blue.
Come see me now?
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't tell him why?
Nope. Okay. Just said, you better come alone. And so we're both like on, does he go? Do you not go? And I'm like, my chest tightens up and I'm like, something's wrong. I don't know. And so we call his sister to see what she thinks. And she goes, no, something's wrong. Don't go. And Simon's like, you're right. Something's wrong. I shouldn't go. But then once we're like talking about it and like thinking about it, I was like, all right, hold on. Let me not protect you. What do you want to do? I was like, you've been talking about how you want this opportunity to sit and talk with your mom. And he was like, yeah, I've been saying that for days. And I was like, now randomly, she's wanting to talk to you and meet with you. I was like, okay, so rationally, what's the worst thing that she's going to do? She's not going to like shoot you. Like, you're not going to die if you go and see her. And he was like, well, no.
Wow. Was that something that you stepped back and thought because of readings and these experiences?
Uh-huh. My initial thought was, no, something's wrong. Like, immediately, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, he agreed. He was like, no, something doesn't feel right. And his worry is, could he be getting set up for something bad?
Okay.
Because of history. And it could have been that. But it didn't seem to be that. He did go ahead and go. But that was a moment where I wanted to stand up, put the walls up, protect, stop the bullets, and be like, no, you're not going, because she's going to do something. And it may not be physical harm, but it's going to be mental harm. Mm-hmm. And so my initial reaction was no.
I love that you had literally pulled yourself back.
And I said, did.
Wait, what can I learn?
Wait, I'm trying stand to stand beside him.
Yeah. Like, you're having whether we believe in intuitive readings mm-hmm. or tarot cards or whatnot, you are having things brought to the forefront of your mind that maybe the universe is trying to tell you or teach you.
Maybe.
And you're taking it and trying to learn from it. And that's very mm-hmm. big.
I was able to, I know him. If he hadn't have gone, both of our minds, especially his, would have been going, okay, what the worst case scenario, that's what was going to happen, but what would have happened? Would it have been something good? And then he would have lost sleep over it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to put my own intense feelings and wanting to protect him aside and say, I know you. You probably need to do this for you. You can do it. Let's do it. And we didn't get answers, but we got answers. We know it wasn't worst case scenario, but it wasn't a good case scenario. And
interesting.
Then you told me about important achievements coming that also coincides with a path coming. Well, hello, we're moving mm-hmm. into a house that I designed.
Mm-hmm.
Hard times ending. That was said in my intuitive reading. Hard so times are coming weird. To an end. Yeah. Health is being
that
solved.
That was the Five of Pentacles.
Mm-hmm. This is your time to start your journey.
Yeah.
Is what you said.
Yeah, because the last four cards we pulled were tools for change. And so the Five of Pentacles have talked about end of hard times, but it also said this is time for you. Seize the day. Trust the universe when mm-hmm. you're following your dreams.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said that. And what is interesting about that is that so the dream, the goal is this farm that we're building. And to get there, we know that there's some little steps and some little stones that we got to hit to get that. And it just revealed that moving into this house that I designed a year ago at this point is going to be one of those stepping stones to get there. So step, as you said, step away from the big picture or look at the big picture.
Got you.
The big picture is to move in this direction, this pathway that just opened.
Right.
To make sense.
Right.
And I don't know. I'm like getting kind of chills and I'm getting like really animated talking about this because it's just
I feel
really
it too.
It's crazy how this all goes together. And then looking at the difference, but how they're the same of these two different readings, the difference with the intuitive reading is it feels like it's portraying current emotions, current feelings, and what's currently going on.
Okay.
What yours feels like is more of what is to come and how to get it is what I feel like the cards were more of, because it tells you, like, there was a part where you say, map out how to hit your target goals.
Yeah.
I am a mapper anyways.
Yeah.
And that's like, I literally have a journal, this thing now where I'm mapping out our episodes, how they're going to go and like how to tie in episodes, things for my own physical and mental health.
Yeah.
And like how to like map out all this success.
Right.
And you told me how to do that.
So interesting. Okay. So I have a question because, you know, you heard me say, I don't really see tarot as a fortune telling device.
That is true.
I know some people do though.
And okay, that's true. So, you did say that.
But how did you see it?
I don't see it as a future telling in the sense that, like, this is what's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Because as you have said, and I feel like we had a guest or we talked to someone about who was also giving their opinion on it.
We did. It was our Akashic reader.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that in a future episode.
Basically, we all have autonomy. We all have personal choice.
Yeah.
So could we make a choice that derails all this? Yes. But I feel like you would deep down know that you're at a pitchfork. And I feel like you would know that you're going against the grain and that.
Like at a crossroads, you mean?
What did I say?
A pitchfork.
Oh. Yes. I think you would feel that you're at a dead end and you need to go left
okay.
or you need to go right.
Okay.
And I feel like you would know that whichever direction you're going, you would feel the resistance and know that this is probably not right.
Got you.
And so I feel like with this move particularly.
So it sounds like you're saying you feel like you know inside what you're supposed to do.
That now it feels right.
Okay.
So it's not telling the future,
right.
But it's basically just.
This is how you can get what.
Yeah.
Tools. I see it as tools.
Yeah. I guess it was like stepping back and being like, okay, so farm's the dream. All right. So we've been at this dead end for months now. This is the direction. Like, why was it so hard to decide this?
Well, it did say one of the things that did pop out to me was reassess where your focus is.
Mm-hmm.
So I almost wonder if, like you said, you had to step back and look at the big picture again and remind yourself.
And health stopped being stopped being such a high questionable priority.
Yeah.
So maybe that's
that
what it needed.
Too. Yeah.
because that was what was holding us back.
So interesting.
Yeah. So that was really fun. I'm glad you did it. And I told Melissa that I am going to play my hand at it. And I am reading about the cards. And we'll probably, maybe we'll do like a small clip or something of me like.
I would love it.
Maybe we can do like another little episode of me like reading yours and we can see like.
That'd be so fun.
I've
actually never done a tarot reading for myself. I've pulled cards here and there. But I would love to have like an actual reading. That'd be so
fun. I mean, you probably can't count me as an actual reading, but I think it'd be fun to try and see if it resonates.
Yeah.
I hope that you guys enjoyed hearing insight into my delicate life.
The little bird.
I'm terrified of birds. I can't remember if I said that. I'm fucking afraid of birds.
But there's a bird that keeps wanting to give you hope, apparently.
Oh, you know what's funny? What? Okay, I'm really going to end this. So the new house that we're moving into, the last time we went into the house to go look at it, I hadn't seen it in months. And I'm walking around and I, like, literally within the first 3 minutes, I'm walking around, I go, there's been a bird in here.
Oh, no.
And Simon just looks at me wide-eyed and walks away. And I was like, there's been a bird in here. And he goes, how do you know this? And I was like, because there's bird shit on the floors. And so
I guess that's a dead giveaway.
And
right?
So then I'm like really like paranoid, like, oh my God, a bird's gonna fly at me. There's gonna be a dead bird in here. And I'm freaking out. And he goes, oh, okay, there was a bird in here like a few weeks ago, but I haven't found it since. Like, I'm like, great. And
it's so funny.
And so I guess
he didn't want to tell you.
No, he wasn't gonna tell me that there was a bird in the house. And so then I had my pups with me and I had them outside with me, and someone had apparently found the bird and tossed it outside. The puppies found it, and we were able to throw it out into the woods. But I thought that was funny. I'm afraid of birds, and I was like, there's a bird in this house.
Oh, you're like, every
damn
all my spidey senses are tingling.
Thanks for joining us again. This was a fun one. And
it was fun.
We will chat with you soon.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
We want to hear from you. Share your story with us via Facebook, Instagram, or email.